choice is in your hands.
Britain decides.
Most of the countries in the world are outside the European Union, and they're doing very nicely, thank you.
Britain decides.
I believe that Britain will be safer, stronger, and better off in a reformed European Union.
You're listening to Britain Decides, the EU referendum debate on TRE.
This is the most profound political decision of my lifetime.
Britain Decides.
With Stephen Ritson.
It's time to speak up.
Hello and welcome. At the last UK general election in May 2015, the Conservative Party made it one of their manifesto pledges to renegotiate Britain's relationship with the European Union, and then to hold a referendum to see if the British people wanted to stay in or leave the EU. Once David Cameron was re-elected Prime Minister, this was made a government priority. When the Queen opened Parliament shortly after the election, she stated the government's position.
My Lords and members of the House of Commons, my government will renegotiate the United Kingdom's relationship with the European Union and pursue reform of the European Union for the benefit of all member states. Alongside this, early legislation will be introduced to provide for an in-out referendum on membership of the European Union before the end of 2017.
There then followed discussions over some months, culminating in 2 days of intensive talks with the leaders of all other 27 EU states. That was in Brussels in February. The leaders agreed a package of changes to the UK's membership of the EU at the end of those talks. The British Prime Minister then returned to the UK and set the referendum in motion to be held on the 23rd of June. And he also made it very clear that he and the government were backing the changes that he's negotiated.
The choice goes to the heart of the kind of country we want to be and the future that we want for our children. This is about how we trade with neighbouring countries to create jobs, prosperity, and financial security for our families. And it's about how we cooperate to keep our people safe and our country strong. I know there will be many passionate arguments over the months ahead, but my responsibility as Prime Minister is to speak plainly about what I believe is right for our country. I do not love Brussels, I love Britain. I'm the first to say that there are still many ways in which Europe needs to improve, and I will never say that our country couldn't survive outside Europe. We are Great Britain, we can achieve great things. That is not the question in this referendum. The question is, will we be safer, stronger, and better off working together in a reformed Europe or out on our own? I believe we'll be safer in a reformed Europe because we can work with our European partners to fight cross-border crime and terrorism. I believe Britain will be stronger in a reformed Europe because we can play a leading role in one of the world's largest organizations from within, helping to make the big decisions on trade and security that determine our future. And I believe we'll be better off in a reformed Europe, because British businesses will have full access to the free trade single market, bringing jobs, investment, and lower prices. Let me be clear. Leaving Europe would threaten our economic and our national security. The choice is in your hands, but my recommendation is clear. I believe that Britain will be safer, stronger, and better off in a reformed European Union.
That was David Cameron. Now, interestingly, the referendum is not to be based on those changes that were negotiated. Changes to things like child benefit, migrant welfare payments, and some limits on free movement. But it's set up as a simple question of should we stay or should we go? Here on TRE, we'll discuss the various changes the EU leaders agreed and why the referendum question was set up as an in-out vote. We'll be doing that over the next 10 weeks. We have a whole series of expert guests who are going to be joining us to help us find out more about the arguments on both sides. Over the coming weeks, we'll be joined by university professors, lecturers and researchers from all over the world, lawyers and economists. We'll also be hearing from spokespeople on both sides, from the leaders of global pressure groups to politicians, trade unionists and even students. Some of them you'll know, some you won't, but they're coming on the radio to help us all get to the heart of the issues at stake. It's quite complicated in some ways, even though the choice is a simple stay or leave. We at TRE believe the decision to be made by the British people should be based based upon a proper understanding of the arguments and an appreciation of the positive benefits of both the in and the out camps. We do try to take seriously our role as your voice in Spain. We are Spain's largest English-speaking radio station, and we broadcast across a huge area. There are over 280,000 British citizens officially registered with Spanish local authorities, with up to 800,000 who regularly spend large periods of time here, and we reach a large proportion of them. That's why we're going to have 10 programmes in this Britain Decides series. Each week, we'll focus on a theme such as whether Britain's future security is better served by being in or out of Europe, whether the UK will have better trading relationships with the rest of the world inside or outside of the European Union. And of course, we want to hear from you. You can call us right now on 952-784-000, tweet using the hashtag BritainDecides, email studio@talkradioeurope.com, or leave a message on our forum at talkradioeurope.com. And of course, we're grateful to our sponsors, Abacus, for their support in bringing all of this information to you. Now, the latest polls are interesting. I see, in fact, let me just look, because this obviously it's live and they're changing. There's one in the Financial Times today, and this is a poll tracker. So it's a poll of polls, if you like. At the moment, according to the FT, 44% of British voters are in favour of remaining in the European Union, while 42% are in favour of leaving. According to whatukthinks.org, and their poll of polls, it's 52% to remain, 48% to leave. There's an ORB survey just out for the Telegraph. This isn't a poll of polls, but a single poll, one of the latest ones from yesterday. It found that if the referendum were held today, some 52% of respondents would back remaining in the EU, with 43% to leave. That's down 5 points on the previous poll that they carried out. Either way, it seems at the moment, politics, you know, 15 minutes is a long time in politics. At the moment, it seems that the Remains just about have it, but it is, of course, too close to safely call, indeed, for either side. Now, on our website, we'll bring that up for you in just a minute. Let me see. Hang on a minute. We'll do the very latest evidence on our website, Talk Radio. Do it as you can yourselves, talkradioeurope.com. And right on the front page there, we have our individual poll, which is, of course, from you, listeners to Talk Radio Europe, who've decided to express your vote. This is not particularly scientific, of course, and indeed, you don't have to be British by any means to have your say in whether you want to boot the UK out of the European Union or you'd like us to remain. At the moment, it's just coming up live. Hasn't changed much over the last couple of weeks. Remain in the UK, according to Talk Radio Europeans, 62.5% of you want us to remain, 35.6% of you want us to leave, and 1.9% of those people who've expressed their opinion on talkradioeurope.com are undecided, don't know, or perhaps don't even care. You're very welcome to vote in that survey, of course. You can do it right now. And early time will tell whether the UK's final decision is closer to the national polls or indeed to our survey, bearing in mind how wrong the polls were before the UK's last general election. And of course, many expat Brits can vote in this referendum. As of last week, it was about 11,000 of you had already signed up. Officially registered, those of you officially living in Spain had officially signed up in the UK in order to be able to vote. Obviously, many people, including the embassy in Madrid, are very enthusiastic, and you on increasing those numbers, elbowing your friends perhaps along the costas and elsewhere and in the islands. And indeed, those of you listening to us online, we have people in Madrid as far as the northwest of Spain, up in Galicia as well, who are regular online listeners to Talk Radio Europe. So the embassy, among others, would like you to actually get out and vote before it's too late, at least register. It's something that's very close to the heart of Simon Manley, the British ambassador to Spain. In February, he launched a campaign to get Britons to vote, to register to vote. And after the break, I'll be asking him about that and the other questions you've posted on our forum. Remember, once again, to have your say. Good idea. You won't be holding on for half an hour or so, don't worry, we will call you back. It won't be your phone bill. To have your say, call us on 952-784-4000, tweet using the hashtag BritainDecides, email studio@talkradioeurope.com, or leave a comment on our forum at talkradioeurope.com. It's exactly 17 minutes past 12.
Britain.
Radio Europe. We are your voice in Spain.
Britain Decides. Brought to you by Abacus Pension Trustees Limited. Helping you take control of your retirement plans. Britain Decides. TRE's coverage of Britain's EU referendum is hosted by Stephen Ridson, with expert guests, speakers from both sides, and your comments. Join in the debate on our online forum at talkradioeurope.com.
I'm joined now on the line from Madrid by Simon Manley, who's been the British ambassador to Spain for 2.5 years. Ambassador, thanks for joining us on Talk Radio Europe. Appreciate your
time. Thanks very much for having me, Stephen.
Now, your office has been campaigning, as we know, at TRE, and our listeners do, to get expats in Spain to register to vote. That's the first thing. How's that going?
It's going reasonably well. We're putting in an effort that's really in support of the Electoral Commission. They're the people who are running a global campaign to increase the number of Brits who live overseas who are registered to vote and who then obviously can vote in the referendum this year. Historically, as you know, levels are very low. At the start of this year, I think we just had about 11,000 Brits here in Spain registered to vote. Numbers are up. There's still a long way to go, a really long way to go. I mean, I've said it before, but, you know, our forefathers fought for hundreds of years to have the right to vote. This is the most important decision that the British people have faced in a generation. And I really hope, whatever you think of that decision, that if you've got the right to vote in this referendum, that you register to vote. And there's not a lot of time left. You really need to register to vote here in Spain by the 16th of May at the latest, if you're going to be able to get your postal vote, that you register to vote and you exercise that right to vote.
I understand the deadline is it technically the 7th of June, the final date to register, if you're in the UK, that is?
That's right. If you're in the UK, it's 7th of June. We're encouraging everybody here to register by the 16th of May because, obviously, we want to make sure that councils back in the UK have done all the work necessary to ensure that people who have registered to vote by postal vote can get those postal votes, because the idea is that councils should send out those postal ballot papers to people living here in Spain between the 23rd and the 27th of May, so just a week or so after that 16th of May deadline, but before the deadline for registering to vote in the UK.
In the 2015 general election, you had 106,000 registered as overseas electors, the highest number ever. Is that for Spain or globally or the EU, that figure?
That's globally. We had just 11,000 here in Spain, so... Yeah, if you think about that 100,000 of all the Britons who live overseas, not just here in Spain, but in the States, in Australia and elsewhere, it's a really small portion, bigger than we've had it previously. But I say, given what an important decision this is for British people, wherever you live, I think, I really hope that we can push those numbers up a bit more.
You, according to your figures, 283,000 Brits are registered to live in Spain. You've put a figure as well, an estimated 800,000 Brits that in total that either live in Spain or spend many months of the year here. You've got 11,000 so far registered, or that was a week or so ago. Any idea what the figure is at the moment or what you're hoping to get? You're hoping, of course, for all of them, but what you're expecting to get?
We're not setting a figure on it. We want more Brits to register. Not everybody, of course, who's resident here has the right to vote back in the UK. They may be too young. They may have been away from the UK for too long. But for those who have that right, we really hope that they have a go to register. It doesn't take long, as you know. If you do it online, it really only takes 5 or 10 minutes. You know, the time that you'd have a glass of wine or a half pint of beer, you can register to vote and exercise this right which has been so important to us.
Even faster, probably. Just a chupito would probably even do it. You mentioned there about how long people have been outside the UK. This so-called Votes for Life bill, which is being introduced, which has been promised, will be in time, it's believed, it's hoped, for the 2020 general election, but not significantly for
this, as you say, the most important vote in a generation. It was asked for. Indeed, there was a case. There's a firm of solicitors in London representing a 94-year-old war veteran, British guy who lives in Italy, wanted the right to vote, but he's lived outside the UK for more than 15 years. And yet that's just essentially been dismissed. It wasn't really even debated properly. Do you think that might have been pressure from the Brexit camp, perhaps supposing that people living inside the European Union, any of the other 27 countries, might be more inclined to want Britain to stay?
Well, I don't think we make any assumptions about whether you are more or less likely to vote yes or no if you live overseas. We know it's a really important decision. You're right that there was quite a lot of debate about what the rules should be, not just about actually people living outside the UK, but also there were questions about should 16 to 18-year-olds be able to vote, should citizens of other EU member states resident in the UK be able to vote. All those issues were exhaustively discussed in the lead-up to the passage of the EU referendum bill in the House of Commons and then, you know, through the House of Lords. The government, as you say, is committed to ending the 15-year limit on eligibility to vote in the UK elections. So they didn't have time to take that through, as well as the referendum legislation, on the back of the deal that we did with our European partners. But the government obviously hopes to do that bit of legislation sometime during the remainder of its mandate.
On our talkradioeurope.com website, we set up a poll a few weeks ago. It's not scientific, and we try to stop people double voting with one IP address and all of that sort of trickery. But even though we can see the figures changing, in other words, the decimal points, the people, more votes coming online, it seems to be pretty stable. About 65% want to remain in the EU, about 35% want to leave, maybe a little bit less because there are a couple of undecided, a couple of percentage points. I've seen some stuff. There's a pan-European website called The Local. They have a Spanish edition in various countries around Europe. They seem to have come up with similar figures. There was something in Le Monde. So it does seem sort of pretty clear that expats in the European Union, on the whole, would favour remaining. I mean, does that surprise you?
Doesn't surprise me. But we're not making any assumptions about how people would choose to vote if they're registered to do so.
Okay, we the diplomatic service, I understand.
We the diplomatic service, we the government. We think it's really important that people are well informed about the decision, that they think about the decision. We hope that as many people as possible will participate in this referendum. And I think, the more people participate, the more important the result.
It's interesting, you said that we, the government, I said you, the diplomatic service, you said, well, you didn't say the no, but no, that we, the government. The government position, even though David Cameron's allowed a free vote among ministers from bench, which has, of course, raised some eyebrows back in the day among some, on both sides of the House. The government's position is clearly to remain. We've had this famous leaflet that's been dropped on people's doors, the £9 million leaflet in recent days, that the government says is just about laying out the facts, but it clearly states, and understandably that's the government's position, that it would like people to vote to remain. It thinks it's the best decision. So presumably, as representatives of Her Majesty's government, embassies and consulates around the world, then presumably that's the line that you're pushing.
Well, I mean, as you say, the government's taken a very clear position in favour of our remaining within the European Union, within the reformed European Union. We obviously reached a really important agreement with our European partners back in February, which we think responds to many of the concerns of the British people in terms of trying to create a more competitive Europe, a more flexible Europe, in which it's clear that we have a different destiny, really, as a country from those countries that are members of the Eurozone, that have the euro as a currency, and which responds to some of the concerns that British people have about immigration and welfare. We also think it's really important that the British people are informed. And indeed, what polling there is suggests that people want to know more about the European Union. They want to understand better the decision that they face on the 23rd of June. So the leaflet, which is we're going through doors, but which is also, by the way, available online.
Okay, we'll put that also up on our social media sites for our listeners.
Yeah,
I'll give the details for our listeners at the end of this interview. So I'm guessing that this leaflet, which you've read, presumably, you think it's a fair portrayal of the way things are.
It's an attempt to set out the decisions that the British people have to make on the 23rd of June. It doesn't attempt to be neutral because the government has a position in favour of our remaining within the European Union. But you know, the government is not campaigning as such. There are two campaigns, as you know, which were identified last week by the Electoral Commission. One campaign in favour of our remaining within the European Union and another in favour of our leaving the European Union. That was a decision, an entirely independent decision taken by the Electoral Commission. They looked at the rival campaigns for our departure from the European Union, decided which one was the better fit as the official campaign, which means that it's sure. That's the campaign that gets the money, it gets the airtime on British media.
Absolutely clear. Let's just quickly go, if we can, to a couple of questions from our listeners. I have to tell you that the question that most people wanted to know is, do you like Ferrero Rocher?
I do, but I have to say I prefer British chocolate.
Of course, of course. If we can call it real chocolate in the EU these days, I
call it real chocolate.
Let's not get distracted. Well, the first one, Nigel in Denia, a bizarre, slightly surreal question. Why is the referendum only an in-out vote?
Yeah, I mean, there was, again, very careful consideration of the terms of the question. There's a decision taken by Parliament on the basis of a recommendation from the Electoral Commission. It's the Electoral Commission that said that the question should be as clear as possible to the electorate. And that's why we came up with the particular terms of the question, which are going to be on the ballot paper on the 23rd of June. So I think it was good that it was an independent body that came to a conclusion about what was going to be the simplest, clearest way so that people couldn't be confused about the decision that they were taking.
No, and of course, and also it has to be said, while avoiding a yes-no question, because the no side has always seemed to be slightly negative, whatever the side of a referendum question. Quite a few people have asked this sort of question. I mean, Tony says, what's likely to happen to expat Brits in Spain if the UK pulls out of the EU? Very general there. Robert in Mijas says, nobody's told me what will happen to the large number of British people living in the EU. Some of us have been deprived of our vote, as we talked about. Do the voters really know what the consequences will be? What will be the cost to the British public and its service industry? I'm saddened that nobody knows. It's like diving into an empty swimming pool. That's something we hear, don't we, from the outside, is nobody knows. And in fact, it used to be said, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, whether you're the ambassador or a citizen. One thing is your opinion, but the facts are the facts. But the fact is, with this, that there seem to be no facts. As soon as somebody says something, even that leaflet was described by Jacob Rees-Mogg in the House as propaganda, and that's, you know, normally a supporter of David Cameron.
Not very often a supporter of David Cameron, I have to say.
Okay, all right, fair enough. But is it possible, whether you're the government or you're on the out campaign, is it possible to actually say or print anything, to come up with a figure without somebody saying, well, that's not true, that's not accurate? You, whether it's the amount of money that's paid per day, somebody might say, in isolation, even if we agree with your figure, it's not honest because it doesn't reflect the full picture. Is there anything? Anything. People, that's the one thing we hear from our listeners is, I just want to know the facts. I just want to be informed. Is that even possible?
No, I understand why your listeners are concerned, yeah? Because it is difficult to know what would happen if the British people vote no on the 23rd of June and vote to leave the European Union. We're trying to put out, as a government, as much information as possible. We've already published three white papers, which are, again, are available on the referendum website, on the government website, .gov.uk, one of which sets out the terms of the agreement, which we reached with our European partners back in February. Another looks at the possible alternatives to our current membership, looks at the sort of the Norwegian model, the Swiss model, the Canadian model, which are all models cited by elements of the No campaign. And there's a third paper that looks at the so the modalities that are provided for under the EU treaties. It's essentially, be a bit techie about this, it's set out in Article 50 of the Treaty of the European Union, which offers you a broad kind of route map for the negotiations that would have to then ensue with our European partners. But, you know, let's be honest, nobody knows what the reaction of our European partners...
There's that phrase again, nobody knows, yes.
The reaction of our European partners would be to a no vote by the British people. That's why the government talks about uncertainty, prolonged uncertainty, probably over a period of years, the government sought to work out with those partners what sort of relationship the UK would have with the European Union, with our neighbours outside of the European Union. That's why, as a government, we think it's better to stick with what we know, to go with the reforms that we have achieved with our European partners in recent months, to create a more reformed European Union, a more competitive, more European Union. We believe, as a government, that we are safer, more prosperous, more secure, a stronger country inside the European Union than we would be outside of it.
You mentioned security. Jeremy Corbyn, in his appearance in the House of Commons on Thursday, the 14th, he stressed that his main argument for remaining in the European Union was not the power and security cases we often hear about, but the social benefits of the EU, that it acts as sort of an insurance, perhaps, against certain types of national British governments.
Look, I think there are a whole series of arguments in favour of us remaining. You know, the European Union is a market of 500 million consumers. It's an extraordinary thing to have on our doorstep. 500 million consumers with whom we can trade freely without tariffs, without any form of barriers. It's the principal destination for our exports to the country. It's the principal source of investment into our country. You know, the UK, as you remember, is the number one destination for Spanish foreign investment outside of Spain. But we are also more secure. And, you know, I speak to you and your listeners as a former head of counter-terrorism. We face an unparalleled threat these days from international terrorism. And I feel more secure here in Spain, and I feel more secure in the UK, knowing that we can work with our colleagues across Europe, both bilaterally and through the European Union, to try and combat the threat that we face, to try and keep our country safe, our citizens safe, and we will be more secure.
It is argued, for our listeners who don't know, you were the FCO's Director of Defence and Strategic Threats, and you led the government's international counter-terrorist, counter-proliferation and counter-narcotics efforts as head of counter-terrorism policy as well, many other notable positions that you've held. There are those, of course, that would argue on that. They would say, well, we have a perfectly good relationship with the United States regarding security. There's no reason why we couldn't do a similar thing with the European Union.
We do indeed have an excellent security relationship with the United States. We also have an excellent security relationship with Spain and our other European partners. The question is, why would you, when faced with the sort of threat that we are faced with today and we've seen with such chilling barbarity in Paris and in Brussels, why would we give up the relationships and the mechanisms that we have developed over 40 years with our European partners to fight that threat?
Okay,
does that make us more secure or less secure?
Dave in Polop on the Costa Blanca, he says the UK government currently only pays increases to UK pensions to people living in the European Union. They're obliged to do so under the laws of the EU, which state that it's forbidden to discriminate against people because of where they live in the European Union, that is. Do UK pensioners have your guarantee, not you individually, of course, do UK pensioners have your guarantee that they will continue to receive these increases if the UK leaves the Union?
You know, I'm not in the place or position to make any guarantees, I'm afraid, to anybody as to what will be the situation of British nationals resident here in Spain, whether they be pensioners or of working age, once we leave the European Union, if that's what the British people choose to do. That's the uncertainty which we've been speaking.
I'm imagining that things like pensions and healthcare and perhaps things to do with residence property rights and minimum amounts of money one has to have in order to be able to reside in Spain, are they the sort of things that people are calling up your colleagues to inquire about?
I think people have a range of concerns. We have a range of British people who are living here in Spain. We have people who've retired. We have, obviously, up here in Madrid, we have a population which tends to be in work and who are working for British or Spanish companies or organisations. So I think, you know, they have different sorts of concerns. But, you know, we've got lots of people kind of contacting us to ask these questions about what would it be like?
Yeah.
I just don't think we're in a position to give people an honest answer. I don't think we should give people false expectations of what will happen if the British people vote to leave the European Union.
You're
fight for their interests, but I don't want to give them a false assurance.
I know, of course, it's not the remit, but it's geographically close. Have you had any dealings on this issue with Gibraltar on this subject? We know the Gibraltar government very much wants Britain to remain in.
I've spoken to the Chief Minister about the issue. I've spoken to his colleagues about it. I was down in Gibraltar briefly on holiday a couple of weeks ago. Both the Chief Minister and the government, and indeed the opposition party in Gibraltar, as well as the trade unions and others, have a very clear position in favour of Britain remaining part of a reformed European Union. They think that Gibraltar is better off within the European Union than outside of.
Finally, let's suppose there were an outvote. Do you see your role changing, the embassy's role?
If the British people vote to leave, my main job will remain essentially the same. It's battling for the interests of British companies here, boosting their exports, encouraging Spanish investment in the UK, working with our partners across Spain to ensure that Britons stay safe and secure, whether they're here for 5 days, 5 years, or 50 years. Our interests, I think, remain unchanged. But obviously, were we not to be part of the European Union, the nature of the way that we go about defending those interests would have to change. We, as an embassy, as a diplomatic network here in Spain, also benefit from the fact that we are a member of the European Union. If you look at the commercial work that we do here for British companies or for promoting an enormous Spanish investment into the UK, that essentially derives from a set of rules that are produced as a result of our membership of the European Union. Those rules would probably change, but so we'd have to go about that task in different ways, using different methods. But, you know, we're here to stand up for the interests of the UK and for Britons here in Spain, whatever the context, and we'll continue doing that, whatever happens on the 23rd of June.
Well, good to hear a little bit of stability in an uncertain world. 23rd of June is, of course, that referendum. Simon Manley, the British ambassador to Spain, speaking to us from Madrid. Thank you very much for speaking to Talk Radio Europe.
It's a pleasure, as ever. Thank you very much.
Britain Decides. You're listening to Britain Decides, the EU referendum debate on TRE, brought to you by Abacus Pension Trustees Limited, Gibraltar. Call 00350 200 78777.
Welcome back. It's 12:45. Now, today's the first of our Britain Decides editions, the intro laying out the case, of course, from the Prime Minister, and the Queen's mentioning of it in Parliament. That made it a little bit longer today. From next week, the introduction to our debates will be slightly shorter, so we are a little pressed for time. Don't let that put you off, though. Remember that you can call us on 952-78-4000, and we are keeping your numbers as well. We'll call you back. If you haven't had a chance today to have a comment, we will be bringing you in much earlier from next Wednesday onwards. You can still tweet using the hashtag Britain Decides, email studio@talkradioeurope.com, or leave a comment on our forum at talkradioeurope.com. We read everything, okay? We read everything, even if your comment won't make it on air this week. Now, I'm joined by Adam Osterfield. He's from the British Chamber of Commerce in Madrid. He's also from the London School of Economics. Adam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. So, the ambassador, you were with Simon Manley just a week or so ago at an event in Madrid. Reading between the lines, of course, he's a diplomat, but it seems that the arguments he's proposing, indeed those of his government, are to remain in the UK. The British Chamber of Commerce itself, not just the Spanish branch, but the British Chamber of Commerce itself, your members are similar sort of line. Is it some of the 85% in favour of remaining?
It's actually even more. So I think when our survey was done from our chamber members here in Spain, the results were extremely clear. It was one of those things where we know the polls are showing a sort of closer number between in the UK for in and out, and your survey, I think, on your website also, sort of two-thirds, one-thirds. Our chamber members ended up at saying 97% said that they want Britain to stay in the European Union. So really quite a resounding and clear result from all our members that we surveyed.
We've got a similar thing out today from a whole series of former U.S. Treasury secretaries, both Republicans and Democrats, going back all the way to Richard Nixon's time. They say, in fact, there's an article in the Times newspaper today, and they say that Britain leaving the U.K. could threaten London's preeminence as a financial capital. Presumably your members are particularly interested in the financial aspects of a leave.
They are indeed. I mean, our members, you know, they range from a huge amount of SMEs, you know, a lot down in the south, but obviously also we have a lot of multinationals here in Madrid, and a kind of mixture up in Catalonia and Barcelona, where the main groups are, but also in Bilbao and spread around Spain. So the survey that we had a nice, good balance, sort of a population, as it were, of different sized companies, some of which will have major headquarters, global headquarters in London, some of which will be Spanish companies based here with very large interest in the UK. So we had what we feel is a very comprehensive and interesting result from that range of members, range of size of companies and so on. So but telling anyone involved in financial services, the preeminence of London in global markets is very important for raising capital, even from the sort of smaller companies starting up who are looking to raise capital. London's often the place to do it. All the major multinationals are looking for much larger structural finance and so on. So in the end, it was pretty clear again that the financial question was one, but equally the transaction costs of those sort of financial questions were raised for the whole range of companies that we have in the chamber. And that's something where it's difficult to precisely measure, but everyone knows and everyone can tell that that's just going to increase should Britain leave the EU.
Now, you mentioned SMEs there, small and medium-sized businesses, in Spanish known as pymes, pequeñas y medianas empresas. Many of our listeners, I would imagine, those that aren't retired, we'll be discussing over the next few weeks all sorts of things to do with retirement and other rights that expats have in Spain and may be affected, maybe, by a vote to leave. Most of our listeners involved in business, I would imagine, would be involved in such businesses rather than large enterprises, sort of the Spanish representative of a British multinational.
Sure.
As far as small and medium-sized businesses, our listeners that have got businesses, British citizens living and working in Spain, a mom-and-pop shop, as some Americans might say, or slightly bigger, how would it affect them? Clearly, nobody knows, which is a trending hashtag, I have to say, even on our Twitter account. But as far as we could intelligently guess, maybe the most we can do, how would a vote to leave affect British people living in Spain who are working, perhaps for somebody else, but with their own business particularly?
Well, I think, I mean, there are a number of, what we call it, the London School of Economics, a sort of economics-heavy mob who've analysed a lot of the questions around that from the UK's point of view, you know, the Treasury, the IMF, ourselves as well. Ourselves, you know, economics is not known as a dismal science for without much truth behind it. So the LSE's point of view from the Centre for Economic Performance, that the exit would be very drastic, probably the most pessimistic of all. But what it means, what they've analysed, is also the transaction costs, as I've mentioned, for people living in Spain. Not only in sort of financial transactions around trade issues, around regulation, around the difficulty of managing to import and export, but equally around the movement of people. There'll be certainly some people who have connections in the UK, a branch in the UK, or a family relationship in the UK, or suppliers in the UK. All of those issues will be much more complicated if Britain leaves the EU, just in terms of trying to manage. If you're an SME or a BMES, you're trying to manage that process. That's very time-consuming. So I think it may well affect people, especially at the PMEs level, more than multinationals in many ways, because they don't have the capacity to respond, or they don't have the resources to respond to the kind of difficulties that will be thrown their way.
There's a suggestion from the Out campaign. There are various Leave groups. We know Vote Leave is the official one in the UK, but a common thread regarding people, for example, Polish workers in the UK is often a case that comes up because there are so many of them. is that there's a suggestion, I even heard Nigel Farage himself from UKIP say it the other day, that this won't affect so much people who are already in the UK. It will gradually, once things are ironed out over the next couple of years, will affect newcomers to the UK. Will that be a similar thing in Spain, do you think? In other words, people who are living in Spain now, people who have got a business set up, a small business in Spain set up now, they wouldn't be so much affected. It would be newcomers.
No, I think it would certainly be both. I mean, I think it would most likely be negative for both newcomers setting up. And if one goes back sort of historically to look at, for example, the 1970s, when Britain joined the EU, it wasn't exactly the decade of great sort of British prosperity and growth. I think we can all accept that, those of us who remember it. But at the same time, the trade patterns between the UK and the European Union did change fundamentally. And that was actually an underpinning of some of the sort of longer-term growth that the UK saw during the 80s and 90s, where it's really become came out of that particularly difficult period of being bailed out by the IMF and suddenly becoming a much more global and stable trading partner of the European Union. Now, if you were sort of to extrapolate that and look at what would happen to those trading relationships, even at the PMEs level, the small companies trading or trying to set up trade between the UK and the EU, that would be much more difficult. So both those who have existing trade links and those who are trying to set them up as a huge market, as the ambassador said, for Spanish companies and organizations, then it's going to be much more difficult for both. And setting up, what it might well mean, the likelihood is that people setting up in Spain might look for other trading partners apart from the UK. Therefore, that's where the trade impact is going to happen.
Just coming back to the local level, the British expats, again, I mentioned once again, is pensioners who aren't working in Spain, in theory, or certainly not full-time, have their pension comes from the UK in sterling, presumably converted into euros. That is a huge advantage for Spain. They're spending their money in Spanish shops, supermarkets, bars, etc., rather than spending it in the UK. So this is not the same case as the issues related to some Eastern European countries, that Spain, the OUT campaign would argue that in fact British citizens in Spain are net contributors in every way to the Spanish economy, and there's no way that Spain would make it difficult for those people to continue to come.
No, I think the model is very different. I think especially for the British in Spain, I think we have almost just under 300,000 registered Brits like myself. But also about 1.1 million Brits who are here for long periods of time, if not retired, if not sort of going between the UK and Spain on a regular basis. So their net contribution is certainly positive, where depending on the migration flows to the UK, which are obviously a very key issue at the moment, I think, around the whole campaign, that's a very different story. The issue, of course, with that scale for Brits in Spain is that there are also pressures on national governments as well. So the healthcare systems, the sort of pension infrastructure and so on, a lot of those things will also be in peril to some extent. And I think the healthcare point, as you mentioned before, I think as the ambassador did, is one in point. That is something that's so important to so many people, given the demographics of Brits in Spain, that may well be adversely affected. It's still, that issue is still a big one in the UK, but others are less pronounced as they are here in Spain.
All right. Well, Adam, I'm afraid we wanted to get you on earlier. Tempus fugit, as they say in Rome. But hopefully we'll be able to speak to you another time in greater length over the course of the next 10 weeks here on Talk Radio Europe. Thanks for joining us today. That was Adam Osterfield from the British Chamber of Commerce in Spain, also from the London School of Economics. And hopefully if we can speak to Adam next time, we'll be having a look as well as that angle, of course, one of the most respected academic institutions on the planet. Now, next week, we'll be speaking to Petros Fasoulas, Secretary General of the European Movement. The website, if you want to have a look at that, is europeanmovement.eu. Anna Firth is one of the founders of Women for Britain. Chris Carter is Chief Research Executive of Get Britain Out. Also, to remind our listeners that we'll be repeating this program tonight at 6 p.m. if you want to listen to the ambassador or to Adam Osterfield once again. This program was co-produced in Marbella by Rob Humphreys. I'll be back tomorrow with Europe Today. But until next Wednesday at midday, that's it from Britain Decides for now. Remember to keep posting on our forum at talkradioeurope.com. Look after yourselves and, of course, each other. Bye-bye.